Today's shiur is Masechet Megillah Daf Chav Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis, 6 lines from the bottom. Omer Mazutra, Metbachas Hasfarim, the covers of Nevi'im Ksuvim Shebolo that get ruined and aren't usable as covers for Sfarim anymore. Oysenayso Tachrichim Umeis Mitzvah, they're used as the Tachrichim for somebody who's a meis mitzvah, v'zui gnisosan, and that's the way they're buried. So Mefarshim explained a number of interesting points. One is, even though we've been learning in the Mishnah and in the Gemara that we only could take any of the items listed in the Mishnah and use it for a higher level of Kedusha, using it to bury it is a lower level of Kedusha. So Mefarshim explained that here we're dealing with a situation that these mitpachas have no use. So if the issue is to dispose them or to use them for tachrichim of a meis mitzvah, certainly it's better to use it for tachrichim of a meis mitzvah versus disposing them without having any practical use. So I saw a very beautiful Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer points out that in yesterday's shiur we discussed that what's the halacha if an Aron Kodesh is no longer usable. The Gemara says that we should take the Aron Kodesh and make it a smaller ark to use for one Sefer Torah. Ask the Chassam Sofer, just like Al Gemara here says, that if the mitpachos get ruined, use it for tachrichim, so why doesn't the Gemara say that if Aron is no longer usable as Aron Kodesh, we should use it for Aron, for a nifter, for a coffin, for a nifter? So he says a beautiful pshat. He says that a person is buried in his tachrichim. A person is buried in the tachrichim, and the reason why something that's used for a Sefer Torah or for a Navi cannot be used for a person is because the person is gashmius. We all are partially gashmius. So something that was used for a Navi, for Ksuvim, for Sefer Torah, to now go put it on a person is highly inappropriate. But when a person leaves the world, the gashmius, the guf, is no longer here. All that's left is the neshama. The neshama is a chelik alokam amau. It's part of God. So it's just like a sefer. So taking a mitpachas of svarim and putting it on a person who dies is taking it from one thing which is holy and putting it on another thing which is holy. The neshama of a person. However, the person is not buried in the aron. He's not buried in the coffin. Just used to carry till the base ha'olam, to the cemetery. So therefore, to take something that was used for an aron kodesh and just transport the person in there and not actually keep the neshama with that is not appropriate. The aron is only used to carry the person, the body. Also, interestingly enough, the Rishonim say, usually we know in halacha, the definition of a meis mitzvah is someone who died and nobody's here to attend to the corpse. Here the Mefarshim say the meis mitzvah doesn't only mean that type of a meis mitzvah, but also someone who died without any money to pay for tachrichim is also considered a meis mitzvah that we use the mitpachas hasfarim shabalu to bury him in. Continues the Gemara. Vamar Rava, Sefer Torah shabalu, if a Sefer Torah is no longer usable, goes and I say a Talmud Chacham, we bury him next to a Talmud Chacham, says the Gemara, Rafil Shain Halachas. Not only a Talmud Chacham, who's actually a Talmud Chacham that knows how to explain a Gemara and answer a question, but even somebody who just learned and doesn't have that depth is already enough of a Talmud Chacham that we bury a Sefer Torah that's no longer usable next to him. Amar of Achba Yaakov, upi Kli Cheres. However, we should put the Sefer Torah into an earthenware keli. Shenemar, v'nesatem b'Kli Cheres, put it into an earthenware keli, leman yamdu yamin rabin. In order to list, we don't want it to deteriorate any more than it has to, and keeping it in an earthenware keli will prevent that from happening. There's a very interesting machloikis, how to understand this Gemara. Some of Farshim explain that it's a covet for the Sefer Torah, that if we're going to bury it, we just don't bury it, we bury it next to a Talmud Chacham who passed away. Others say it's not the covet to the Sefer Torah, it's the covet to the Talmud Chacham, that the Talmud Chacham, we so much value him that when he passes away, we put a Sefer Torah next to him. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is, if we have a Sefer Torah that is no longer usable, is there a specific issue to take that Sefer Torah and put it next to this Talmud Chacham who passed away? If the point is to give cover to the Talmud Chacham, then we should do it. If the point is to give cover to the Sefer Torah, so like our minig is, we keep in Darun Kodesh Sefer Torah is that apostle, and then there's no specific issue to use the, take the Sefer Torah and bury it next to Talmud Chacham. The Paiskim say that if possible, one should leave apostle Sefer Torah in Darun Kodesh. In fact, there's a tshuva from the Noida Behuda, there's a tshuva from the Binyan Tzion. How could we keep in the same Arun Kodesh kosher Sefer Torah? Apostle Sefer Torah, isn't that somewhat of an embarrassment to the kosher Sefer Torah? So some of Farshim explain that we find out with the Luchas. The Luchas and the Shivrei Luchas were both in the Arun. Noida Behuda has a question on that because he says when the Arun Kodesh was, when the Arun in the Mishkan was built, it was built with that purpose. So he says, the Pais can say the smartest thing to do is when one builds an Aron Kodesh, he should have in mind that's not only going to be used for the kosher Sifri Torah, it's also going to be used for Sifri Torah that are possible. Amar Papi Mishmei Derav. B'mei Knishta Lebei Rabbanan Shari. In those times, they used to have what was called the Beis HaKnesses, which was used exclusively for Tefillah, and that a Beis HaMedrash where they learned. So now the question is, which is a higher level of Kedusha? Because the question is, we, as we learned in the Mishnah, we only could go to a higher level. We can never go to a lower level. So the Gemara says, the Beit Knishta Lebei Rabbonin, to take the funds of a Beis Knesset that's sold and use it for Beis HaMedrash, Shari, Lebei Rabbonin, Lebei Knishta, but vice versa, the funds from Beis HaMedrash to a Beis Knesset, Osir. Why? Because it's going down in value. He holds that a Beis HaMedrash is more than a Beis Knesset. Rapap Mishmei the Rav Masni Ipcha. He learns just the opposite. The Beis Knesset is more than Beis HaMedrash. Omer of Acha, Kavosei the Rapapi Mustabra. What Rapapi says makes more sense. Domer of Shuben Levi, who was one of the most authoritative Amoroim, Beis HaKnesses Mutal Asoysa Beis HaMedrash. That you're allowed to make a Beis HaKnesses into the Beis HaMedrash, Shmamina, that the Beis HaMedrash is a higher level. Ask the Sfasemis. What's the proof for Rabbi Shuban Levi that a Beis HaMedrash is higher than a Beis HaKnesses? Maybe they're equal. And that's why since they're equal, we could turn a Beis HaKnesses into Beis HaMedrash. And similarly, Rabbi Shuban Levi will hold that you can make a Beis HaMedrash into Beis HaKnesses. So the Sfas Emes says, and he learns the whole sugya with this approach, that when our Mishnah says you could sell something to make it to a higher level of Kedusha, it has to be strictly a higher level of Kedusha. An equivalent level of Kedusha is unacceptable. So we can't say Rav Shuman Levi holds that a Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash are equivalent, because if they were equivalent, then you wouldn't be allowed to sell a Beis HaKnesses or Beis HaMedrash. It must be that a Beis HaMedrash is a higher level. Ask the Mefarshim, if that's the case, that the Beis HaKnesses, according at least to Rav Shuman Levi, is less than a Beis HaMedrash, when we learned the Mishnah yesterday, and the Mishnah listed all the different statuses and different levels, why does the Mishnah not mention that a Beis HaKnesses or a Beis HaMedrash, since they're not the same status, we should have put them into the list? So the Meraimai said this as a very simple answer. He says not every community had both a Beis HaKnesses and a Beis HaMedrash. All the things that we learned in the Mishnah are things that every community has. Every community has an Aron Kodesh. Every community has a Beis HaKnesses. But it's not necessarily that every community had both Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash. Like in our communities, they're usually one and the same. Another teretz that's given is that it's already included. Because the mandamit that holds that a Beis HaKnesses is greater than a Beis HaMedrash, he holds that it's the same status as a teva. The mandamah that holds a Beis HaMedrash is greater than a Beis HaKnesses will hold that a Beis HaKnesses is the same status as the Rechava. Both of these things are already listed in the Mishnah. Darash Bakaparo. Maidiksev, the Pasuk says by Nevuzer Adin, when he attacked the Beis HaMedrash in Shalayim, the Yisrof as Beis HaShem, he burned down the Beis HaShem, as Beis HaMelech, as Kol Bat Yerushalayim, as Kol Beis Godel Sar Feish. He burned down every big house. Beis HaShem, says the Gemara, is a Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMelech, El Palton Shemelk, the king's palaces. That's called by Bati Yerushalayim, Kamashman, all the homes. That's called Beis Godel, Sara Be'esh. What's the Beis Godel? Machloikis. Rabbi Yochanan Reshu ben Levi. Chadam Amok Mishmagadlin by Torah, the place where they learn Torah, that's the Beis Godel, Beis HaMedrash. Chadam Amok Mishmagadlin by Tefillah, the place where they daven. Mandal Matorah is considered Beis Godel, the Ksiv, Hashem chofetz l'man tzitkoi, yagdol Torah v'yadis. We see the word gadol applies to Torah. Omandam tefila, that sif saprano agdoilis, asha osa Elisha. Let's repeat the great things that Elisha did, that he was able to be mechayim mason. For Elisha, the Ovid, what Elisha was able to accomplish, berachmehu the Ovid, he did with his tefila. So we had here machloikas, who holds tefila, and who holds Torah. Either one, it's Rabbi Yochanan ben Shimon Levi, but the Gemara didn't say who holds what. Says the Gemara, Testayim, I'll be able to prove to Rav Shuman Levi who the Amma Moknam Shagadla by Torah, that Rav Shuman Levi that holds that Torah is more, Dom Rav Shuman Levi, Beis HaKnesses Mutal Asos Beis Medrash. So he holds that the Beis Medrash is greater than the Beis Medrash. The Beis Medrash is greater than Beis HaKnesses. That's why we can make a Beis HaKnesses into a Beis Medrash. Shmami no, that he holds the Beis Godel is the Beis of Beis HaMedrash, and it must be the Rabbi Yochanan holds that the Beis Godel is the Beis Tefillah. So the Ben Yoyada makes two observations in learning this Gemara. One observation he makes is that the Pasuk first says Veskobata Yerushalayim, they destroyed all the homes of Yerushalayim, and then the Pasuk says they destroyed either the Beis HaMedrash or Beis HaKnesses. Shouldn't the Pasuk first, the Pasuk's going in what was more of a tragedy. Shouldn't the Pasuk first mention that the Beis HaMedrash, the Beis HaKnesses were destroyed, and then say that people's private homes were destroyed? So he says, Gvaldig Pshat. He says, as long as there are people who are davening in the Beis HaKnesses, as long as there are people learning in the Beis HaMedrash, they cannot be destroyed. It was only after Kobot Yerushalayim, after all of the homes in Yerushalayim were destroyed, and there was nobody left to daven, and there was nobody left to learn, that's when the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash could be destroyed. So he goes a step further. He says, we can understand why the Beis HaMedrash is called the Beis Gadol, because in the Beis HaMedrash where learning takes place, there's a pilpul chaverim, and there's more Torah. But what's the Beis Gadol of a Beis Tefillah? So he says, because there's not to be compared, he says, Tefillah B'Tzibur versus Tefillah B'Yechidus. When we daven B'Tzibur, first of all, Kadosh Baruch Hu listens to the tefillahs better. Second of all, we could say Baruch Hu and Kaddish and Kedusha. By Skodl, where we're davening with a tzibur, that tefillah is a much more potent tefillah. There's a very interesting Ein Aliyah from the Gra, asks a very interesting question. He says, according to the way we learned the Gemara, it's Rabbi Yochanan that holds that the Beis HaKnesses is more than the Beis HaMedrash. Ask the Gra, how could we say the Rabbi Yochanan is the one that holds that the Beis HaKnesses is more than the Beis HaMedrash? There's a Gemara where Rabbi Yochanan says, where he saw people spending the whole day davening, he says that the Menichim Chaya Olam, they don't spend time learning Torah, which is Chaya Olam, internal life, and they spend their time just davening. So here we see Rabbi Yochanan holds that davening is less than learning. Yet in our Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan holds that the Beis HaKnesses is more than the Beis HaMedrash. So the Gra says there are two parts to tefillah. One part of tefillah is being meshabeich HaKadosh Baruch Hu, praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another part of tefillah is bakashas tzrachav, a person asking for his own personal needs. When Rabbi Yochanan said that davening is less than learning, he was referring to the aspect of bakashas tzrachav. Asking for your own personal needs instead of learning should be learning. But on the other hand, when it comes to be Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is another element of tefillah, that Rabbi Yochanan holds is greater than learning. And I think it's off, I think it's open Gemara. The Gemara says that David HaMelech was Mespalach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that somebody saying Tehillim should be equivalent to somebody learning the hardest Kach, Mataris, Olus, the hardest Gemaras. Why? Because what is Tehillim all about? Being Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And according to the Gra that just explained Rabbi Yochanan, being Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu is even greater than learning, which is exactly what Rabbi David HaMelech davened for. Continues the Gemara. Mutar la'sois beis medrash, amav machu tayra leichus svarim. If the seller sefer tayra, then I'll buy svarim. Ibai luhu. Ask the Gemara, ma'al limkus sefer tayra yashan, are you allowed to sell an old sefer tayra likach by chodesh, to buy a new one? What is the shaila? Kivin d'loy malalei, since we're not taking it to a higher level of kedusha, asr, it should be prohibited. Idilma, kivin d'leke iluyachrina, there's nothing else you could do, because there's nothing more than a sefer Torah, So that's why Shapadami, you're allowed to sell a Sefer Torah to get a new one. And as the Rajb explains the Gemara, we've been explaining trading for equal is not mutter. But you know when it's not mutter? When you have an option where you could go up. But by Sefer Torah, there's nowhere else to go, so perhaps it's mutter, or perhaps, if it's equal, it's never permissible, even though you have no other option. So the Chassam Sofer, beautiful Chassam Sofer, asks Gevalda a good question. He says, what's happening here? The person is selling his old Sefer Torah because he wants a new Sefer Torah. He wants a nicer Sefer Torah. We know there's a concept in Halacha of Zeh Keli Van Vehu, of Hidda Mitzvah. So isn't it a good enough reason to be allowed to sell your old Sefer Torah because you want to have a nicer Sefer Torah, a Hidda Mitzvah? So he says a beautiful pshat. He says, let's say someone before Sukkot bought an Esrog. Esrog is certainly a mitzvah that you have to have a Hidda Mitzvah on. And then he finds a nicer Esrog. So the halacha is, you should buy the nicer Esrog. Again, there are conditions to the halacha. But at that point, when you traded in, or you just bought another Esrog, the Esrog that you had was never a Dvar Mitzvah. It was still before Sukkot. So you didn't embarrass a Dvar Mitzvah, because it wasn't yet a Dvar Mitzvah. Here, on the other hand, says the Chassam Sofer, we have a Sefer Torah in front of us. And was used as a Sefer Torah. To go buy another Sefer Torah, even though your intention is to get a nicer one, but at the expense of embarrassing an old Sefer Torah, that's not called Hidda Mitzvah. Hidda Mitzvah that comes with embarrassing the old Sefer Torah, perhaps is not a Hidda Mitzvah, and that's why the Gemara can't say that it's certainly mutter because you're being mahadev a mitzvah. Tashma. Avil Machru Torah. It says in our Mishnah that if they sold a Sefer Torah, lo yichu svarim, they can't use the proceeds to buy Nevi'im and Ksuvim. So what's the deed? Svarim hu deloy, I can't use a Sefer Torah to buy Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Hatar b'Torah shapadami. To trade one Sefer Torah for another Sefer Torah, perhaps is permissible. Says the Gemara, Masnisan di Evid. Our Mishnah is not speaking in a case where you already sold a Sefer Torah. If you already sold a Sefer Torah, then you haven't. Then certainly you're allowed to try it in. Ki kamibayloi lechatchila, you're allowed to go lechatchila sell an old Sefer Torah to buy a new one. Toshma. So the Gemara brings another raya. It says goyel and Sefer Torah b'bachas chumashim. We could use covers that were used originally for chumashim. We spoke about that yesterday. Those are the 1/5 svarim of the Torah to use for Sefer Torah. Chumashim we could use matpachas nevi'im ksuvim because we're always going up. Avloi nevi'im ksuvim matpachas chumashim. We can't use a chumash cover from the Nevi'im Ksuvim. V'loi chumashim b'mepachas Sefer Torah. We can't use a Sefer Torah cover for chumash. Ketanimis, what does it say here? Goyim Sefer Torah b'mepachas chumashim. We could use a chumash cover for Sefer Torah. Mepachas chumashim in. So l'chayru we see from here, we only can use a cover from a chumash. Mepachas Sefer Torah loy. But to use the cover for one Sefer Torah for another Sefer Torah is not mutter. Why? Because you can't go from one Sefer Torah to another Sefer Torah. Says the Gemara, the proof is not conclusive. Because Eim HaSefer, let's continue learning. V'loi chumashim mepachas Sefer Torah. You can't use a cover of a Sefer Torah for chumash. What is the diik? Hav Torah b'Torah. One cover from a Sefer Torah for another cover of a Sefer Torah. Shapadami is permissible. So the diukim, the inferences in our in this price that could go either way, and that's why we don't have a conclusive proof from this price. So Gemara attempts another proof. Toshma, menichin sefer Torah gabe Torah. We could put one sefer Torah on top of another sefer Torah. The Torah gabe chumashim. We could put a sefer Torah on top of a chumash. Chumashim gabe nevi'im. We could put a chumash on top of a nevi'im ksuvim. Avol nevi'im ksuvim gabe chumashim. We're now going to put a nach on top of a chumash. We can't put a chumash on a Sefer Torah. But we see that one Sefer Torah could be put on top of another Sefer Torah. Obviously, since they're both equal, they could easily be interchanged. So the proof is not a good proof. Hanocha Kamrit, you're trying to bring a proof from the fact that one Sefer Torah could be put on top of another Sefer Torah. Shani Hanocha, the Leifshir. I have to somehow be able to put one Sefer Torah on top of another Sefer Torah. That because they're equal, or not because they could be traded in. I just have to have, it's a practical consideration. And the Gemara goes a step further. Diloy Teimahochi, if you're not going to say that, Nichri Hecha Kachinen. How can we ever roll a Sefer Torah? when we roll up the scroll, the koyos of Dapa Chavri, one page is on top of the other page. If we're saying they're all equal, how can we put one page on top of the other page? What do we have to say? El Kivin Dolei Afshar. There's no other way of rolling up the Sefer Torah. We have to roll it up. We can't keep every Sefer Torah open from end to end. Hakunami Kivin Dolei Afshar. I have the Sefer Torah in an arc, and I have to pile them up. That's why it's Shari. It's interesting. This is the Gemara that teaches us something that we learned from when we were little children about putting Svarim one on top of the other. We have to always be careful to put a Chumash on top of a Gemara, not vice versa, etc. The Aruch HaShulchan makes a point. He says that this only applies to Sifrei Torah, Uchumashim, and Nevi'im that were written by a Sofer on a Klaf. But on printed material, this halacha doesn't apply. So what we were learning from when we were little children, according to Aruch HaShulchan, wouldn't necessarily apply. However, most poskim disagree. They say there certainly are levels of Kedusha. It's certainly important for Chinuch to teach our children that. But the poskim ask a question. Let's say we have a siddur. Most siddurim nowadays have the siddur at the beginning. Then the back of the siddur you have Torah. You have the Kriya for Monday and Thursday. And a lot of them have Tehillim in the back. So you have here the siddur on top of the Torah on top of the Tehillim. That's not permissible. So the Paiskim all say that something that's in one volume, there is no issue of what's on top and what's on bottom. When we speak about putting Svarim one on top of the other, it's only when there are separate volumes, not when it's one safer. There's also a question about how far do we have to be Makbid. No, as we said, we all know that a Chumash has to be put on top of a Navi, Tanakh goes on top of other Svarim. But what's going to be Halacha regarding Rishonim and Achronim? The Chazon Ish, interestingly, says that when it comes to Rishonim and Achronim, we don't have to be so careful. Because he says that since the purpose of all the Rishonim and Achronim is the same, to help us understand the Gemara, so there's no specific need to put Rishonim on top of Achronim. There are, however, other Paiskim that disagree and say that just like we know that Rishonim are more important than Achronim, and when we learn, so too we should be careful to put Rishonim on top of Achronim when we have them piled up in a Beis Medrash. Toshma. Domer Rabba B'chana Omer B'yachim Mishim Mishim Gamliel. Lo Yimka Adam Sefer Torah Yashon Lekach Boi Chadosh. Here it says clearly, you're not allowed to sell an old Sefer Torah to buy a new one. Answers the Gemara, Hasma Mishim Pshiosah. There the concern is that we're concerned that if you're going to sell the old Sefer Torah and you don't have a new Sefer Torah available, that before you buy the new Sefer Torah, you'll use up the funds and you won't have any money left to buy the new Sefer Torah. Our question, how says Gemara, ki kamirin, our question is in a situation, ki going to cost of umanag lafruke, where the new Sefer Torah is right away immediately available to buy. There the question is, can you sell the old one to buy the new one? And we still don't have an answer. So the Gemara attempts another proof. Tosh ma'adam Rabbi Yochanan Shem Rameya. In order that we should have funds to learn Torah or to marry a wife. And it's interesting. Rashi says, learning Torah is not just to pay tuition or to pay a Rebbe. Rashi says, is even if a person needs the money, that he should have time to learn. He won't have a job, so he needs support. So he sells the Sefer Torah to learn. Says Rashi, that's a good enough reason. Shmamina. Torah b'Torah, Shabbat Dami, that all learning Torah is equal, and we could sell an old Sefer Torah for a new one, says the Gemara.
Perhaps, how do you see that?
Because you're selling your Sefer Torah, why? To be able to learn. So you see, Torah b'Torah is permissible. Says the Gemara, Dil Mishani Limud, you can't bring a proof, because there you're selling it in order to be able to learn. Learning is more important than a Sefer Torah, because through learning, Shalimud Mevel De Maisa, just owning a Sefer Torah in your cabinet doesn't do you anything. Ishinami, why is it permissible to sell a Sefer Torah to marry a wife? Because the pasuk says, "Lo'sabaro l'shevus yitzara." Hakadosh Baruch Hu created the world that it should be inhabited, not left desolate. And that's why we could sell a Sefer Torah to marry. Our Torah b'Torah, to trade one Sefer Torah for another Sefer Torah, we don't yet have a proof. So I sort of mefarshim ask, Karban Nisanel asks a question. He says, why does the Gemara bring a proof from a pasuk in Yeshaya how important it is to be married? Why does the Gemara bring the pasuk from Parashas Bereishis? Puru Revu. there's an obligation to have children. That's why you're allowed to sell a Sefer Torah to marry your wife. So Kamen Sal says two terutzim. We know that the chiv, the obligation of puruvu, is only on men, not on women. So let's say, says the Kabbalah Sanal, we have a Yisoyma, an orphan girl that has to get married. So she has no obligation to have children. So I was thinking, now let us sell a Sefer Torah to marry off. Says the Gemara, the Pasuk is Leisabaro, the world was created to be inhabited. That Pasuk speaks to men and women the same. And that's why you're allowed to sell a Sefer Torah, not just on the for the purpose of a man getting married, you're allowed to sell a Sefer Torah even for the purpose of a woman getting married. Kabbalah Sanal says another Teretz. We know, we're going to discuss it in Mitzvah when we get to Masechet Nida, that a person is Mekayim Mitzvah Puruvu, Machlokes Beisham Beisilul, two boys, a boy and a girl. Let's say a person already has that amount of children, whatever the amount the halacha requires. So maybe he shouldn't be allowed to sell a Sefer Torah if he wants to get married to have more children. Teaches us the Gemara that even if you're getting married, even though you had already the required amount of children, it's important that the world should have more Jewish children, and you're allowed to sell a Sefer Torah for that purpose. And Rav Moshe uses this Gemara one step further. He says that not only are you allowed to sell a Sefer Torah, like our Gemara says explicitly, to get married, he says you're allowed to sell a Sefer Torah to build a mikvah. He says because without a mikvah, people can't have children. So you're allowed to sell a Sefer Torah in order that they should have children because they'll be able to go to the mikvah. In fact, there's an interesting Tshuvas Marsham. Yesterday we discussed that we're not allowed to demolish an old shul until there's a new shul available, because we can't be left without a shul. Says the Masham, the same halacha applies to a mikveh. We're not allowed to demolish a mikveh in a community. If they want to build a new mikveh, we're not allowed to demolish the old mikveh until the new mikveh is standing, because we should never be left in a community that has no mikveh, even though it's for the purpose of building a new mikveh. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. A person's not allowed to sell a Sefer Torah even though he doesn't need it. Yes, okay, Amr Shim Gamliel. I feel ain loy my yoichel, even if he doesn't know have what to eat, umach a Sefer Torah and he sells a Sefer Torah to get what to eat. Oy bitoy, we know the Torah says that the person's daughter could be a Oma Havriya, a Jewish maid, ain roy sim brochloy. From that money that you'll realize for that sale, you won't have any anah. As we finish this sugya, so the Gemara doesn't answer the Shaila, just to make a point. If you're allowed to sell an old Sefer Torah for a new Sefer Torah. But as we finish the sugya, we think, Baruch Hashem, nobody's going to sell a Sefer Torah to buy a new one. But there is relevance to Halacha L'maisa. The Rosh says that nowadays, we mekayim the mitzvah Sefer Torah, not strictly with a Sefer Torah. We mekayim the mitzvah Sefer Torah with having our Sfarim, regular Sfarim, Gemara, Mishnayos, whatever. So now the question is, are you allowed to sell Sfarim to buy other Sfarim? Where is this most relevant? Again, people usually, Baruch Hashem, don't sell Sfarim. But where is it most relevant? Let's say a boy becomes Bar Mitzvah. And he gets Bar Mitzvah presents Sfarim. And as invariable, he gets many of the same Sefer. So he's allowed to trade in the doubles for another Sefer. Because the Gemara here says you're not allowed to sell a Sefer. So the Rosh says a very interesting concept. He says, if someone owns a Sefer, that he says, our entire Gemara is only referring to a community. So under what circumstances can a community sell a Sefer Torah or not? But when an individual has a Sefer Torah, it's completely his, there he is the full-fledged owner and he can do what he wants. So even though the Paiskim are not certain that even an individual has that full-fledged right to sell a Sefer Torah to get another Sefer Torah, certainly the Pais can say, in a situation where you have duplicates and you're the full-fledged owner, you could trade in one Sefer to get in another Sefer. Amar Rava, v'kemi misrayim. Let's go slowly. The Mishnah said that if you sold something and you're only allowed to use the funds for something of a higher level Kedusha, it's not only even the extra. Let's say you bought something of a higher level, but you still have extra money. You're not allowed to use the extra money for something that's not a higher level Kedusha. Amar Rava, lo yishanu l'shemach v'yisiru. Let's say we sold something, as our Mishnah described, and we bought something of a higher level, and we have leftover money. Teaches us the Mishnah, we can't use that leftover money for something that's not a higher level. Avil gov v'yisiru. Let's say there's a collection made, and they used them, and they collected more than they need. Their halach is mutter. You could use that extra money for whatever you want. However, the Paiskim say, even though our Gemara is saying you can use it for whatever you want, it still has to be for public need. You can't use it stam for something that doesn't have an importance to the tzibur, something that has some level of kedusha to it. Ask the Gemara, Eisvei Abaya, the Medvar Mum Shlei Hisnu, when is this talking where they didn't make a condition of the Zion Tuveir, the Maimon Anshir? Avil Hisnu, if they made this, if it was sold, the Zion Tuveir, the Maimon Anshir, Afil Duchsayim Mutter. We'll see soon what Duchsayim means. Ask the Marhechidami, exactly what are we describing? Ilama Shemachr V'Siru, that they sold it and had leftover money. Ask the Gemara, Ki Hisnu my Havu. Our Mishnah said that you're not allowed to use the extra funds for anything else. Ela Shigov V'Siru, it's talking about a case where they collected money and had leftover funds. And what's the Brisa teaching us? Tamar de Hisnu. It's only because it was sold B'Zayin Tuveir B'Maimin Anshir. Haloi Hisnu. But after that, Loi. You can't use it. Not like we said that Gov of Asiru is permitted. Answers the Gemara, L'mayla M'shechir B'Masiru. It's talking in a case where they sold and they had left over. Velkama, this is the way to understand. B'medvar M'murim Shalei Hisnu Shiva Tuveir B'mamin Anshir. That's where we have to be careful that all the funds could only be used for a higher level of Kedusha. Avil Hisnu Shiva Tuveir B'mamin Anshir. If they were the ones in control of the sale, their halacha is a filled of chsayin amimutah, they can use it for any purpose. So Tosfos asks, what's the chiddush? The chiddush is, says Tosfos, that how far we need zayin tuveir b'mamin anshir, even for the leftovers, to be able to use the leftovers for an equivalent or lower level of kedusha, we have to have zayin tuveir b'mamin anshir, otherwise it's not acceptable. Amal b'ay lehum rabbonim. Abaye said to one of these rabbanim, "Have a masada masnisa kamed Rav Sheshes." He was a person that used to organize the brises in front of Rav Sheshes. Mishmi lachem Rav Sheshes. Did you ever hear from Rav Sheshes my duchsusaya? What the definition of duchsusaya is? Amalaisa responded, "Hachem Rav Sheshes parsha demasa." The person that rides in the horse for the town. Machalik is to show what it means. Either he was the person that they needed to send a message to the government, he was always available to go, or he was a town watchman that rode on a horse around the town. Om Rabbaya, Hilkach Haitzum Rabbonim. If there's a Talmud in Yeshiva, the Shamalei Mils that heard a word, the Layada Purusha, and he doesn't know how to explain that word, define the word, L'shayla Kamei, the Shir Kamei Rabbonim, he should ask somebody who is frequent in front of Talmud Chachamim, the Le'ev Shadol Shmilei Megav Rabba. He certainly will know the meaning. So the Sifsa Chachamim has a beautiful pshat in the Gemara. He says, to ask a person a question where you're concerned that he won't know the answer is embarrassing. I'm going to ask you a question, and you don't know, I'm embarrassing you. Says the Gemara, what Rabbi is teaching us is, I don't have to worry when I ask such a person, what is the taich, what is the definition of a word? Because we don't have to worry they'll be embarrassed because they'll certainly know the answer. Says the Gemara, Om Rabbi Yochum Shum Rameya, B'nei Yir Shahokhal Yir Acheres, if people of one city went to another city, or Paskulayim Tzlaka, it's a very frequent Shaila, they come to the other city, and there's an appeal in the shul. So they pledge, the loch is noisnin. They have to pay their pledge. However, k'shem boyin, but when they leave their city, mevin oison or mefazin sabnei iran, the money that they pledged, they don't have to use to support the people of the other city. Before Pesach, we make appeals for moes chitin kimcha de Pesach. So you don't have to. And you made a pledge in a shul, not in your community. So the Gemara will soon qualify this. Says that you could take the money home. Why? So we shouldn't explain, because I need Ircha Kaidman. You have more of an obligation to support the people in your community versus the people in another community. Tanya Mihochi, B'nai Irsha Ochal Iracheris, they went to a different town, or Paskalay and Tztaka, and they were obligated to give Tztaka Neusman. They have to give Shemboyin, but when they leave their city with their guest, Mavino Isimimon, they take the money with them. This is only if a group of people went to another city. But if an individual went to another city, or Paskalov Tztaka, and he pledged, to Nasan Leniyosir, he has to give where he pledged, because it's only, the Ratfaz explains, if there's a community of people from one city that went to another city, and if they're all going to give their money in the city where they're guests, so the poor people of their city are going to be left without anything. But if it's only one individual, or a small group, it's Machlekes what a group is. Is it 10? Is it 3? Was the most of the city, there it's different. Says the Gemara. Rav Huna Gozer Taneisa. Rav Huna was Gozer Tainis. All the Gabi Rav Chana B'Chanoi V'Kol B'nei Basa. All the people of Rav Chanoi city came to Rav Huna's town. Ramlet Tzedakah, and he made them pledge for Tzedakah, for Yavu, and they gave their pledge. However, Kibbalah Meisi, when they wanted to go back to their own town, Omle, Noisulamar, give us back the money we gave for Tzedakah, V'nefanis by Aniyah Masim, and we'll use it to support the poor people in our city. Omle, so he answered, Tamed Tanina. We learned in a Braisa, the Medvar Mamurim, when do they have a right to take their money back home? B'she'en Chavi'ir, when there is no Talmud Chochem in the city where they gave the Tzedakah. Avol Yesham Chavi'ir, if there's a Talmud Chochem in the city where they pledged the Tzedakah, even though they're not members of that city, to Nosel Chavi'ir. They pledged it with the intention that that Talmud Chochem should get the Tzedakah and do with it as he sees fit. Certainly, says the Gemara, the Koshkin, the Ni, the Di, the Tchu, the people in your town, even though it's not the town where they gave the Tzedakah, relied on Rav Huna, so they should give the money to Rav Huna, and he'll distribute it as he sees fit. Says the Mishnah, we're not allowed to sell a shul that was used for a rabbim, for a community, to an individual. Ramei says that's considered lowering the Kedusha, and as we've been describing in the last shurim, we only could go up in Kedusha, not down. We shouldn't be allowed to sell a shul from a big city to a small city because there's also less people, even if you have a tzibur in both. Says the Gemara, aren't Rabbanan making a strong argument to Rameya? Rameya, how does Rameya answer? When you're selling a shul from a large city to a small city, at the beginning we have a minyan, and I'll be able to say all the dvarim shebe kedusha, hashtanami kedusha. And now also, even though it's a smaller group, but still, we have a minyan, and we could say all the dvarim shebe kedusha. However, merabim liyachid, when it's sold from a group to an individual, leka kedusha, because we don't have a minyan, as we've been explaining, we can't use it to say dvarim shebe kedusha. Rabbanan, iiklamekesh kichai gavna, and the Bonner hold, if this is a legitimate concern, they say to Ramaya, Nami Iklamechish Mishim Ravam Madras Melech. Ham, we always said that the larger the group that are davening, it's more important. So if you're saying that from a rabbim to yochid is not permitted, from a bigger group to a smaller group should also not be permitted. Says the Mishnah, Ein Marchem Beis Knesses El Al Tanai Shem Yitzu Yachzru Div Ramaya. So the way the Rishonim explained this Gemara, Ramei is now saying another condition. In the previous Mishnah, Ramei taught us that we're only allowed to sell a shul from one rabbin to another rabbin. Now Ramei goes a step further. He says, and when you sell the shul from one rabbin to another rabbin, you want to show that you're treating this with great respect. How do you show that? By making condition that the deal could always be called off. The Chomamim, it could be sold as a permanent sale. There are only four things it can't be used for. Lemerchitz is a bathhouse. Burski is where they tan leather and had a foul odor. Lutfila can't be used for mikvah. Well, Beis Hamayim. It's Machlokes Rishonim where Beis Hamayim is. Some say Beis Hamayim means a urinal, and others say Beis Hamayim is a laundry room. So the Machlokes Rambam and Ravid, how to understand the sheet of the Chachamim. The Rambam holds that our Mishnah is referring to a situation where the shul is not being sold b'zayin tuva ye'ir b'maymen anshe ye'ir. So since we don't have this type of a sale, so the Mishnah limits what can be done with the shul after it's sold. But according to Rambam, if it's sold by the board of directors with the consent of the community, you could do anything you want with the shul. The Ravid disagrees. He says even if it's sold by the board of directors with the consent of the community, if it's sold, if it was originally a shul, we have to treat it with respect, and we have to be careful not to use it for one of these four items listed in the Mishnah. And the Bi'ur Halacha says that we hold like the Ravid. Rav Yudaima, Ma'achanai Shel Hashem Chotzer, V'lekech Mashi Yotziyasa. So the way Tosfos and Daf Chof Ches explains Rav Yehuda Shita, Rav Yehuda says like this, you're selling a shul, you have to be very careful. So I can only sell the shul that they could use it for a chotzer, for a courtyard. Anything else, I can't sell it. If after I sell it under those terms, the people who I sold it to use it for something else, that's acceptable. But when you sell it, you have to sell it with great respect and be careful that it should not be used for any other purpose. Ask the Gemara, according to Rameya, What did the mayor say? That you sell the shul, and whenever you sell it, you have the right to recall the deal. Ask the Gemara, L'rmeya hechadayirba havalei ribis. What happens if I sell the shul and I get the proceeds for selling the shul? Then the person uses that shul. I sell the shul to whoever, they use the shul. And as Ramey says, I call off the deal. They have to give me back the money. But they also were in that shul the whole time for nothing. So isn't that ribis? Isn't that interest? Says the Gemara, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Ramey b'shitas Rabbi Yehuda Amar. Ramey is going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Damar, tzat echa b'ribis mutter. When you make a deal that involves interest, but it's not for sure that interest will be paid, it's only tzat echad, there's only a possibility that the interest will be paid, it's mutter. The Tanya, there's a brayse that says like this. Somebody owes me $100. So I want collateral. So he gives me his field as collateral. So if, let's be a little more explicit with an example. Reuven owes Shimon $100. Shimon wants collateral. So Reuven gives him his field. So if Reuven is eating the produce that grows from the field, it's fine. However, let's say Shimon ends up eating the fruit. Aser. Why is it aser? Let's think it through. Because then when Reuven pays Shimon back the $100, what will Shimon have ended up with? The field. He gets his $100 back, plus the produce, which is interest. So Tanakama holds, that's aser. From Rabbi Hudoimer, afilu lekech eichel peres mutter. Even if Shimon ate the fruit, it's mutter. Why? Vam Rabbi Yehuda. Why is it mutter? Because it's not for sure that that's going to happen. Because what may happen is that he defaults on the loan, and all that ends up is that Shimon keeps the field, and then it didn't turn out to be ribis. Vam Rabbi Yehuda. Maisis ben zunim. Shasa sadei mecha pi Rabbi Elazar ben Azarya. There was a situation like this. V'lekech eichel peres haya. And there we see that the person who was owed the money ate the produce. Amalai. Misham Raya. That story is not conclusive proof. Michael Eichel Peres Haya. It was not the person who the money was owed to that ate the creditor that ate the Peres. V'loy Lekech. It was the debtor that ate the Peres. And there's no issue of ribis. Bai Benayu. And as we explained, what is the Shaila if it's permitted or not? Tzad Echa Beribis Ik Benayu. If there's a possibility that interest will be paid, but it's not for sure, is it permissible or not? Mas sover tanakama hold tzad echa beribis is mutter, or mas sover tzad echa beribis is also. Rav has a different explanation of this Mishnah. The kula amma, everybody agrees tzad echa beribis is also. That possible ribis is just as also as for sure ribis. For hacha ribis amanas lach sirik benayu. What's going to happen here is the shaila is that let's say the person will pay rent for all the time that he had the shul. So at the end he didn't pay ribis, because he's going to end up paying the rent. Is that considered ribis or not? Mar sover ribis amanas lahaksa mutter, that if at the end it turns out that I didn't pay ribis, even though it might have turned into ribis, it's mutter. Mar sover asur. So Taisus asks, why should it be asur? If I don't pay ribis, what's the distance? So Taisus says what happens here is he has to pay the whole value. And after he pays the value, they deduct the amount. But since at the moment of payment, there was a payment with ribis, afterwards, even though it's going to be returned, the issa of ribis was already violated. Let's walk down here.